Recently, you took your son, Deacon, on a road trip. Yeah. We want to hear about this. Was it a surprise?
And so I picked him up and we started heading out to the desert, Joshua Tree. I had rented an alien-themed Airbnb and then revealed to him that the actual intent of our trip was to try to make contact with alien civilization.
Oh my gosh, did you?
We didn't. So there's a ufologist named Dr. Stephen Greer, and there's a couple documentaries about him. And he has an app, and so the app is supposed to take you through steps that increase the chances of making some kind of contact. The problem is we went too deep into Joshua Tree and lost signal, so we couldn't really use the app. But we did lay out in the middle of the night. We laid in the rocks and had a great father and son bonding moment, but no alien contact. How far?
Going to be an alien Christmas here on Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, as always, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we are going to cover the alien agenda as it fits into pop culture. That's my steez. That's what I do all the time, right? We talk about the occult and the alien agenda and about all the symbolism embedded in your entertainment for you to digest, for it to soak into the subconscious to later manifest as reality. So we're going to cover this Galactic Federation nonsense that this Professor Hamashad from Israel is talking about, the secret space program. We'll cover that a little bit. And I'll try to find you some evidence of why that could be real. Then we will briefly hit some other topics like the monoliths and Ryan Felipe and that Vatican nativity scene. Then we are going to cover Katy Perry's alien agenda in her new video, Not the End of the World, which ironically, there's connections between Katy Perry's video, the Vatican nativity scene, and Star Wars, because Star Wars unleashed another layer of occult agenda in their show. I don't watch the show, but I read about it, and we're going to cover, well, we'll uncover, we're going to blow your mind, okay, so strap in, because we're going to go to Typhon, the Lord of Darkness, Star Wars. Star Wars is revealing itself with the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, the Mauve Zone, the Center for Creativity, and that'll all make sense. I'll explain to you at the end of the show. We're going to get into this. Let's do it. First, let's talk about this goofy Galactic Federation nonsense, okay? I'm going to read you from JewishPress.com. And shout out, a million people told me to check this out. I mean, it was on the news. Huge headlines. JewishPress.com said, I'm going to read you. It says, Professor Haim Ashed served from 1981 to 2010 as the head of Israel's Security Space Program, and over the years received the Israel Security Award three times, twice for confidential technological innovations. So if he went nuts, and that possibility is always open, it had to have happened over the past decade. And the reason we think the good professor may have lost his marbles has to do with an interview he gave 7 days, the Shabbat edition of Yedioth Aharonot. I don't know. Sorry, my Yiddish is bad here. Israel's largest circulation four-pay newspaper, in which he says, quote, the aliens have asked not to announce that they are here. Humanity is not ready yet. He proceeded to tell them, and here's where you get into his statements. Professor Ashed said, the UFOs have asked not to publish that they are here. Humanity's not ready yet. Trump was on the verge of revealing, but the aliens in the Galactic Federation are saying, wait, let people calm down first. They don't want to start mass hysteria. They want to first make us sane and understanding. They have been waiting for humanity to evolve and reach a stage where we will generally understand what space and spaceships are. There's an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens. They signed a contract with us to do experiments here. They, too, are Well, they too are researching and trying to understand the whole fabric of the universe, and they want us as helpers. Sorry, it's taking me a long time to read this. It's almost like I got to translate it on the fly, the way that it's presented here. Okay. There's an underground base in the depths of Mars where their representatives are, and also our American astronauts. If I'd come up with what I'm saying today 5 years ago, I would have been hospitalized. Wherever I've gone with this in academia, they said, the man has lost his mind. Today, we're already talking differently. I have nothing to lose. I've received my degrees and awards. I am respected in universities abroad, where the trend is also changing. So, to me, I read that as this guy, this highly decorated guy, is basically saying the aliens exist and we're in contact with them, and humanity is not ready to hear from them. And like most of the alien disclosure, the PSYOP component of it, it's a cash grab. Because like anything else in the news, you see these celebrities and people talking to the news, there's a reason for it. It's because they got something to sell. That's why I've been going on all these shows. I'm trying to get the word out that I got a book about the alien agenda. It's just the way it goes. Now, does that discount his ideas? Is he wrong? Is he lying? I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to know. I haven't been present at the Galactic Federation meetings in Mars. But yeah, he's got a book, apparently, and he alludes to the idea that they were hypothetical. I'm going to read to you from timesofisrael.com. Quote, his ideas on space, including on aliens, are outlined in a new book written by author Hager Yanai called The Universe Beyond the Horizon, Conversations with Professor Chaim Eshed. According to Isaac Ben Israel, chairman of the Israel Space Agency, Eshed went too far with his claims, which were published in an interview with the Israeli daily Yedioth. We already talked about that. But his seriousness shouldn't be questioned, and his standing as a leader in this field remains intact. If I would have to choose one person to be called the father of Israel's space capabilities, it would be Chaim Eshed. Now, I wanted to fact check all this. Because, you know, I don't trust anyone just because they're talking. But this guy's like a retired general. He did an interview with, the guy who interviewed him, where these statements were made, was on Jeremy Corbell's YouTube channel. I watched that 20-minute video, and it was of no use. Don't waste your time. I mean, you didn't get any more information out of it besides, like, him. You know, Corbell's kind of like, well, do you think he was telling the truth? And the guy was like, I think so. But, like, there's nothing extra behind it. I was hoping to get some kind of behind-the-scenes confirmation or something, but not really. Now, I wanted to find the book, couldn't find an English translation, but I found an article that describes what is in it on Haaretz.com, and this is what they say. What would advanced space-shifting, space-time-bending cultures who have done away with war and the corporeal form want with dinky idiots like us? Turns out it has less to do with our intellect than what we're sitting on. Eshed says that 9 aliens representing the Galactic Federation have signed a contract with us to conduct experiments. Now, let's pause for a minute. You'll notice he said there was 9 aliens, okay? Now, if you're well aware of the alien phenomenon and the history of this whole thing, you have to know about the 9, right? That's the 9 aliens. It goes back to the 1950s. This Dr. Puharik, this guy got together a bunch of rich folks. They were doing a bunch of channeling experiments. A bunch of rich folks and scientists. They were in this New Age channeling group that included like a Hindu mystic for good measure. Right? They channeled the 9. What are the 9? It was a group of entities, some aliens, disembodied entities, that were in contact with humans, they say, going all the way back to ancient Egypt. This Council of 9. And basically, they made contact for a period of time, and then the group split up. This group that Buharik had put together. Then in the 70s, things heat back up. Puharg hypnotizes Uri Geller. And he reveals that he got his superpowers from a conscious supercomputer on a spaceship named Spectra. And I kind of almost believe that. Because that's where we're headed, right? Like, that's what I talk about is the evolution of man goes into the transhuman, which will inevitably go into digital consciousness. If I were to believe in a further evolved alien form, that would be it. I think that would be the next step. And maybe some interdimensional action involved in there. But yeah, that's what Uri Geller's hypnotized was claiming. And Puharg is like, oh, a computer on a spaceship? Yeah, but what about the Nine? And then this Spectra super spaceship computer alien through Geller was like, oh, yeah, the Nine. The Nine programmed Uri as a child with his superpowers. Okay. So I guess it's the same thing? Different versions of the same thing? Who knows? But, curiously enough, after that, Puharg put together another group of folks to try to channel the Nine. He called it the Lab Nine. To keep talking to these aliens. And it included Gene Roddenberry from Star Trek, right? Who gave you Deep Space Nine. John Denver allegedly was in the group. And most curiously, the Bronfmans. Yes, the Bronfmans. You know who they are. They're the rich folks who started Seagram's, which if you read Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, you saw how they were tied into Death Row Records and Suge Knight, right? You remember that. But more importantly, the Bronfmans family were funding Nexium, the sex cult, the sexual Costco sex cult. So to zoom back out, Professor Ashed says that the nine aliens representing the Galactic Federation signed a contract with human beings to conduct experiments. Probing, I don't know. I don't know what they were into. Now, the reason why, to get back to what Professor Ashed is saying, he says Earth has some precious resources, water, biodiversity, and one can assume that same us. This contract suggests that the representatives who signed on Earth's behalf were STEM majors, STEM being the acronym for science, scientific, technical, etc. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the EM stands for, but it's science nerd stuff. Who signed on Earth's behalf were STEM majors who slept through their humanities requirements, because anyone who's lightly dabbled in history, literature, or Disney's Pocahontas knows that allowing a group with superior technology unfettered or any access to society's natural resources, even for a fee, generally ends badly. One would hope the U.S. representative would have recognized the sale of Manhattan and the English representative their entire history before signing away the Atlantic. In fact, the countries Ashed list as involved parties, United States, Russia, Japan, England, and China, are all current or former colonial powers. No one should know the risks better, which makes this even scarier. By letting ET take the wheel, the planet's most powerful governments are effectively saying that our resources are out of their control, and whatever they're receiving from the Galactic Federation is valuable enough to let them put the entire planet in the position of the countries and cultures they plundered / are still plundering. I don't know if the guy who wrote this banged his head on the keyboard, but sure doesn't know how to put together a story that makes sense. But that's what I'm reading to you directly from this thing. Because I couldn't find an English copy of the book. I'm very sorry. I'm going to keep reading. The Galactic Federation, Ashed says, has intervened in... Here I am talking crap about this guy. I can't even read. Has intervened in Earth's potential nuclear crises, averting an unspecified atomic disaster at Cuba's Bay of Pigs. Chernobyl isn't mentioned, so we can assume the aliens let that happen out of some deep-seated grudge towards Ukraine and Belarus. Ha! Jokes. He's got jokes. But, like, do you recall, if you watch The Phenomenon, the documentary, there's pretty legit references and, dare I say, evidence that UFOs and aliens have been messing with nuclear weapons. There's a lot of people speaking out about this. A lot of, like, high-up officers and stuff in the military that were there when it happened. So I used to be very skeptical of that, but now I kind of believe it more. Maybe. Maybe I'm just falling for the psyop. Let's keep reading. We're almost done. The proof is in the framing by the international media. A senior Israeli aerospace official says that not only is there life on other planets, but it has already made contact. They don't delve into the harder-to-believe claims in the Yedioth report, like his story of a Utah cattle mutilation by a shape-shifting alien that can only be seen with advanced instruments tuned to specific frequencies, or that space tech entrepreneur Robert Bigelow was given a massive payout by NASA to take the footage straight to the Pentagon. So all you skinwalker Utah alien nerds out there, I know you're listening. Take note, that's what this guy's saying, apparently. I don't know, I haven't read the book. But now here's where you could say that maybe this guy's telling the truth. Because here's the deal, with the Galactic Federation, that is scary. Go back to 2001, 2002. Do you remember a hacker nerd named Gary McKinnon, who hacked into a bunch of American systems at NASA and the government? And he hacked into the computers. He's looking for evidence of UFOs and free energy suppression, and he said he found it. He said NASA has been actively removing photos of UFOs. He said, and most importantly, he said he saw an Excel spreadsheet titled Non-Terrestrial Officers, and he assumes that there are outer space forces. He said that he saw a list of fleet transfers and ship names, and he looked up the ships, and those, in fact, were not on the Navy's roster, so he was like, yeah, these are spaceships. Now, he also said he had a real bad problem with smoking pot when he hacked in. So he doesn't recall, luckily, he doesn't recall the names of the ships. But he does recall the names being prefaced with SSS, as opposed to SS, like the Navy names their ships, right? Like the SS Minnow. Right? Is that a Navy ship? A little pop trivia for you there. Is the SS Minnow a Navy battleship? They didn't extradite old boy, though, because I guess he's got Asperger's and they claim that he would actually kill himself and he's mentally ill. So, I mean, there's that too, right? And they, of course, lump him in with the conspiracy theorists. They say, oh, here's another conspiracy nut job. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. And then I actually read through some FOIA requests of some UK government workers talking about McKinnon, arguing about who he was or what he was doing. And here's an interesting sentence I pulled out of the email discussion that these people were having. One person says to the other, the simple fact is that people believe what TV tells them to believe. And TV tells them that people who believe in UFOs and aliens are crazy, conspiracy nuts. We will probably never know whether or not this is actually true. The subject has become so obscured that truth is most likely unobtainable at this point. Who said government workers were dumb? My goodness. That person's dropping the heat. That's the truth, right? TV, and that's what I've been saying since day one, since 10 years ago when I started this project of researching all these things. Entertainment is way more influential than they want you to understand and acknowledge and realize. Also, we've got, and by the way, guess who knew this? Francis Bacon, back in the day. Old William Shakespeare himself, he talked about this. He said it's easier to, you know, push a message through entertainment than to lecture at people directly, because we have short attention spans, you know? People like entertainment. They like to be entertained. And by the way, I talked about, I know you're probably curious, because I know some of you is out there like, oh, Isaac, William Shakespeare, that's the name of the first male to receive the stabby for the virus. And in fact, I did cover that on a show I did on Rockfin, because as you know, censorship is alive and well. So if you want to hear that episode, you got to sign up at Rockfin. I know. Rockfin.com/creator/Isaac, link in the show notes. And not only for one subscription fee, you get your boy, because I got a second show that I do exclusively only for Rockfin. Put out a couple episodes a month where we talk about taboo stuff like that that I can't talk about over here. And we talk about the Strabby. And I talked about William Shakespeare and the irony of that. But yeah, for one subscription fee, you'll get all kinds of stuff. You get me, you get Sam Tripoli, you get Mike Cernovich, you get Charlie Robinson, you get Jamie Deluxe. My God, the list goes on and on. Anyway. Sorry, I get off track easy. Now, where? Oh yeah, now, another one more point to drive home, then we're done with this topic. So here you got this retired general, this Israel, the head of the Israeli version of NASA, saying there's a Galactic Federation, and Trump was going to reveal it to the masses, but then they decided not to. Then you've got Gary McKinnon 20 years ago hacking into everything, saying, yep, there's spaceships and outer space federations. But, roughly 10 years ago, do you recall the disclosure event that Stephen Greer put on? It's called Unacknowledged, is the documentary. And it covered the news events of all these high-up folks coming out and professing their acknowledgement of the aliens and the UFOs, which included the Canadian Minister of Defense, Paul Hellyer, who said the same thing. He said there's a federation of aliens in contact with our Earth governments. I don't know, folks. This sounds crazy. It sounds crazy, but it might be true. Or maybe it's part of the PSYOP. Maybe it's a slow rollout and they're using us to pretend this is real. Nobody knows. Monoliths. Quickly. We got to keep it moving. Monoliths. They had, you know, as you know, over the news, this is kind of old news at this point, right? They were been popping up and disappearing and back and forth and blah, 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 doo, doo, doo. Someone on Patreon actually gave me there was a monolith in Seattle back in 2000. But this was actually more like Kubrick's monolith, like the black, you know, with the dimensions of 1 by 4 by 9, perfect squares, 1 by 1, 2 by 2, 3 by 3. Unlike these weird monoliths that are showing up that aren't, they're not really, monolith meaning a single piece, right? But they're calling them monoliths. You know what I'm talking about. Turns out, another cash grab. These aliens are good for the cash grab, I'll tell you that much. Hell, maybe I should write 3 books on aliens, the big cash grab. There was a artist called the most famous artist that turns out that was making these things. But notice how the news, they didn't pump that part of the story out like they pumped out the monolith story. Did you notice that? Because I don't even recall the news talking about it. I actually saw it because someone gave it to me on the Instagram. Yeah, these artists called the most famous artists revealed themselves back on like December 3rd on their Instagram page, and the news kept pushing the monolith stories. Now, to be fair, Mashable wrote about it the same day, but my argument is that it sure didn't propagate the same way. Mashable actually had it pretty funny. It said, what better way to end this effed up year than to let the world briefly think that aliens made contact only to be disappointed that they are the most famous artists playing a bad joke? Next, Ryan Felipe. He's back from the dead. My God. Him and Cher are going to do a world tour. Rising from their sarcophagus from the 90s. He looks great, by the way. My God, I think this guy's drinking the adrenochrome. Him and Tom Hanks are drinking adrenochrome in Australia, I think. Anyway, he took his 17-year-old son out to look for aliens. This was covered on the mainstream, you know, those daytime talk shows for the brain dead. And People.com wrote about it. I'll tell you about it. Goes a little something like this. He discussed his starring role in the upcoming ABC drama Big Sky and a surprise short road trip to Joshua Tree National Park that he and his son recently embarked on in celebration of Deacon's 17th birthday. We did some rock climbing and this and that. I had rented an alien-themed Airbnb and then revealed to him that the actual intent of our trip was to try and make contact with alien civilization, said Felipe, 46. Oh my gosh, did you? Said Kelly Ripa excitedly. We did, admitted Philippe. explaining that he and his son were initially looking forward to leveraging an app that's supposed to take you through steps that increases the chances of making contact. The problem is we went too deep into Joshua Tree and lost a signal, he added, laughing alongside Rippa, 50, and co-host Ryan Seacrest, so we couldn't use the app. Now, besides my voice sounding like a challenged Nick Cage, I don't know, how do you do a Ryan Felipe voice? But the point I'm trying to make here is that they are referencing old Dr. Stephen Greer from Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And I talked about him in the Alien book, User Illusion 1. I talk about him. There was a whole show. I think it might be on the Patreon only feed. And it might be on the Rockfin. Because on Rockfin, I imported most of the Patreon bonus stuff. I uploaded into Rockfin. Because Rockfin gets the bonus stuff too. Okay. But wait, long story short, Stephen Greer, the app, all the celebrities are doing it. Demi Lovato's on Kesha and the Creepies talking about it. She's hanging out with Greer, posting UFO photos. Ryan Felipe's out in the desert with his kids, having a good time. What could go wrong? The Vatican Nativity, that's what could go wrong. Lots of requests on this one. In fact, Betty from Patreon, she made a pretty good connection with Raised by Wolves, worth talking about. Let's talk about the nativity scene first. There was, so, St. Peter's Square, where you've got all this occult symbolism with the obelisk and all that stuff, right? They unleashed a avant-garde nativity scene. Statues that were actually made a long time ago, in the 60s and 70s, at an art institute in Italy. But the big stink is that it includes an astronaut that some are calling Darth Vader. Which, of course, if you read the Star Wars conspiracy, you already know. Deoth Vader, which we're going to get into. That is the connection point. The 3 degrees of separation between this, Katy Perry, and Star Wars. But there's like a Darth Vader standing in back of another astronaut holding something I can't even tell what. I mean, it's really bizarre, right? Darth Vader, he looks more like the Mithraic Lord Helmet from Raised by Wolves, as Betty pointed out on Patreon to me. I was, you're right. Does look a lot like Lord Helmet, who was, town rapist on Raised by Wolves, if you listen to my 3-part show on that. Now, the nativity resulted in people mocking the Holy Family. Oh, my goodness. They're making fun of baby Jesus, Virgin Mary. How dare they? And this is by design supposed to push us through the great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter into this age of Aquarius. The new age, the final Kali Yuga, the age of Matt, all these terms. The final age of man where we evolve into the next stage. We ascend to the higher dimension. Now, you recall the Vatican also said that they would baptize the aliens, so there's that too. So is the Vatican in on this? Seems like it. Seems like they're Illuminati confirmed. Now, hold that thought about the Darth Vader character in the nativity scene, because we're going to get back to that in a minute. One more quick piece. On Netflix, there's a show called Alien Xmas. Not Christmas, Alien Xmas, with literally an X. Now, curiously enough, I watched a film called Possessor. I don't know if you've seen this. Quite a gory little tale. It's sort of a has transhumanistic elements. It's a future realm where one straps a helmet on and can control the mind and body of another person. Consciousness transfer, if you will. But you'll notice if you watch that movie, which I gotta warn you right now, it ain't for the kids, it's pretty gory. But it's got the X over the eye, the mark of the beast, the call of Typhon, which will connect us also. And so like that's what I'm linking the Alien Xmas with the X. Now hold that in your other back pocket. You got Darth Vader nativity scene in one back pocket. You got X, the mark of the beast, the call of Typhon in your other pocket. And let's talk about Katy Perry. She has a video called Not the End of the World. Was it Not the End of the World? I wrote End of the World. It's not what it's called, though. You know what I'm saying. And I actually did a reaction video. You can watch my live first time viewing reaction video, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, tier 2 and up. Lots of ways for you to support whatever way you want to support. I'm happy with it. You could just sit there and listen for free. I'm happy with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy you're here on the team in whatever form you take. But anyways, I did a reaction video. It's a little perk I throw out there for my tier 2 and 3 folks, where you can watch my live reaction. And boy, oh boy, was it a reaction. At the beginning, Katy Perry, who's actually played by Zooey Deschanel, that's the joke, is that the aliens abduct who they think is Katy Perry. It's actually Zooey Deschanel because she looks similar. So Zooey, we'll call her Katy. She's reading a newspaper at the beginning, and you see a headline. If you zoom in, and I put these images on Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, link in the show notes. You better like and you better subscribe. There's a newspaper. If you zoom in, the headline says, aliens are coming. That's on the small font. And you can see it, right? Now recall, back when Katy Perry did the Super Bowl, I was covering this on the glory days of blogging and YouTubing. She came out as the Whore of Babylon, riding atop her great beast. But before the Super Bowl, I made a prediction that there would be some UFO elements to it, and sure enough, there was. There was a depiction of an alien invasion right before her performance, implying that she came from the UFO, which, if you recall, she had that song E.T., which is all about making sweet, sexy time to the alien, that your boy Kanye West was in. Mr. Starseed himself, he said he was an alien. Lots of alien action going on. Anyway, in the video, you see the aliens coming. They're blue. This is important with the, that's the primordial Buddha, that's the avatar. In Hinduism, the deities are always depicted blue, like the avatars of Vishnu. Vishnu, the main god, he's blue, represents life, represents rain and water. Like I discussed in Sacrifice Magic behind the mic, there's a long, rich history of ancient cultures sacrificing human beings to the rain gods for rain. Yeah, that's true. It's very true. So the aliens are blue, and they zap up Zooey. They bring her on her ship. Now, they talk. They say that if you look at the lyrics, right? Let's look at the lyrics. They're talking about the New World Order, the Great Reset, the aliens coming to enlighten us because us humans are just so dumb. We're going to blow it. We're going to kill the planet. We're morons. We need the aliens. Katy says, it's not the end of the world. No, not the end of the world. Throw on your fancy attire. Fear's in the fire. Don't lose hope. It's no funeral we're attending. Actually, just the beginning. Throw on your fancy attire. Fear's in the fire. Don't lose hope. Now, so they're saying it's not the end of the world. Things are going to change, okay? Great reset. Now, the lyrics also talk about the sky coming down, which you recall I talked about in Raised by Wolves with the Mithraic cult, which could be who these real Illuminati folks are. Her lyrics say, if you can catch a star, if the sky is falling down, there's a golden lining up in every single cloud. You can take a frown, turn it all the way around. All the way around, all the way around. A fortune teller told me the power is in your mind. You might see a cliff, but I see a way to fly. My God, is Katy Perry telling you to jump off a cliff? I think she is. No, but this is what I talk about in Use Your Illusion 1. That's what I'm saying. There's a spiritual, psychological component where we need to believe in the aliens for them to manifest into our reality. The power is in your mind. That's what Use Your Illusion means. We also see an alien with a hat that looks similar to Hodorowski's Alchemist, sort of. And then you see, and here's the thing, here's the kicker. The one alien does the V over the I. This is the call of Typhon, Nodens, over the all-seeing eye. And this is, of course, from an androgyne alien. And Katy Perry, she's done this symbol many times, as you saw on the Instagram post about Katy Perry. I threw a couple of them on there for you. And now this is the perfected man, the androgyne. Because the polarity of forces, are present, and this is the true purpose of the alchemical great work, all represented in the Androgyne. But the V, as Aleister Crowley advised Winston Churchill, is the call of Typhon, the call of Nodens. It summons the beast from the abyss. So, if you're keeping score, I told you, Darth Vader at the nativity scene in one pocket, the X, the mark of the beast, calling Typhon in the other pocket, which I know that's probably confusing because we're talking about V's and X's. There's just a couple ways of talking about this because it depends on who you read, and it's all very strange, right? I don't profess to understand it myself. But Kenneth Grant talked about the X and the O as the mark of the beast, bringing about Typhon, but Crowley talked about the V and the mark of Nodens, calling Typhon. Who is Typhon? Well, we're going to get into that right now when we talk about Star Wars. And shout out to my man Freeman Fly. You know, he put me on as the first podcast ever, and he wrote about a lot of this stuff. I got a lot of my information, my head start from him. So shout out Freeman Fly. I've been on a show a few times. You can check him out. Okay, here we go. Now, some background info. This is from the Mandalorian show on Disney Plus. I've never seen it. I don't care to. Thank you very much. I hear it's great. I love that for you. Appreciate that. But there's a Baby Yoda. I know who Baby Yoda is, and that goes by the name of Grogu, I guess? I don't know. Doesn't matter. I'm going to read you from Den of Geek, because this is where I got the information. Typhon, not Typhon with a P, but Typhon with a T. Close enough, though, I think. Typhon, a mythical planet located in the deep core or center of the Star Wars galaxy, is home to the ruins of what scholars believe to be the first Jedi temple. Inside this temple, which is the top of a mountain, is a seeing stone that can amplify a force's user's power. It's there that Ashoka says Grogu has to make a choice. If he reaches out through the force, there's a chance the Jedi might sense his presence and come searching for him, Ashoka says. Then again, there aren't many Jedi left. To some fans, this line implies that the only other known Jedi active 5 years after Return of the Jedi is on his way to the Mandalorian. Yes, we're talking about Luke Skywalker. But that's the whole other article for another time. The biggest question is, what other Jedi knowledge might Mando and Grogu find on Typhon? The planet was first introduced in the old Legends continuity in the pages of the novel Darth Bane, Rule of Two. And even then, it was treated as a place of great importance to the early history of the Jedi. This ancient history was more heavily explored in the comic book series Dawn of the Jedi. In this series, they explored the birth of the Jedi, how the concepts of light and dark sides of the Force were first established, and how the conflict between the two sides began. In the year 36,000, before the Battle of Yavin, I don't know. This, you know, see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't get it. A long time ago, in a cosmic event reminiscent of the appearance of the monoliths in 2001 A Space Odyssey, massive pyramid ships known as Tho'yor arrived on several planets across the galaxy to ferry pilgrims to Typhon, where they learned to use the Force. These early Force users formed the Jedi Order, the group that turned into the Jedi Order. Typhon was ordered by two moons, Ashla and Bogan, celestial bodies representing the Jedi belief in balance between light and dark. Ashla represented the light, Bogan represented the dark. When Jedi strayed too far to the dark, he was sent to Ashla to reconnect with the light and vice versa. Neither side was treated as good or evil by the Jedi, who believed that both sides were key to wielding and understanding the Force. Boy, is there a lot to unpack there. So let's unpack it. How are we going to do this? Let's talk about Daoth first. I gotta build up the information in case you're unfamiliar. You've got this Kabbalistic tree of life, the 10 emanations from the mind of God who created the world, and the occultists believe in this stuff. They believe there's a dark, hidden center abyss, the heart of darkness, called Daoth, where the initiate must prepare themselves to enter because they can lose themselves to the dark void if not. And this dark path is the shortcut. In Star Wars, Yoda warns Luke about taking this dark side also, and you find out what happens when he does. when he confronts the dark side, the Darth Vader, the Daoth Vader, in episode 5, he loses his right hand because he ain't ready. Now, of course, Daoth represents the outer adversary, the planet Saturn. That's why Darth Vader is always in all black. He's gone full dark side. Peter Levenda talks about the dark side in his book, The Dark Lord, which I highly recommend. It's the prima materia. One cannot know life without death, because the dark side is where seeds are planted, dreams are born, creativity resides, etc. It is the cellar of the soul, the cave where the beast resides. It's the unconscious mind. It manifests with dark impulses and desires. This is like the shadow that Carl Jung talks about. And the Kabbalists, they call it the Sitra Ara, the realm of the damaged gods. These are the alien demons. And the Daoth is the entry point in. You have to understand, they think that good and evil are constructs. A real master balances the two, reconciles the opposites. Without order, nothing exists. Without chaos, nothing evolves. That's what the rapper Ill Bill said. But it's actually through Oscar Wilde, who he published a work, by the way, called The Picture of Dorian Gray, about a guy who thought the fulfillment of your fantasy was the only thing worth pursuing in life. Very Crowleyan, right? That's very do what thou wilt. And in the story, he sells his soul via a Faustian bargain to stay young, which ties us into Ryan Felipe, sold a soul to the devil. No, but in the story, Dorian Gray says the only way to get rid of a temptation is to yield to it. Very Crowleyan, right? Is it curious that there's a guy named Christian Gray also in that 50 Shades of Grey book? Dorian Gray, Christian Gray, Oscar Wilde, Ill Bill, are they connected? I don't know. Anyhow, the point being, chaos is related to Set, okay? Symbolically, metaphorically, whatever. Related to Set or Saturn, the adversary, the outer. In the terms of occult history, it's the necessary evil. Because you have to understand the way according to the occultists, the way the world was formed, the spirit world needed materialized through the necessary evil, through the forces of Saturn. The skull needed to form in order to contain the brain, in order for man to even exist, to have thoughts. Which eventually man will become God, according to that logic that these occultists abide by. Now, Kenneth Grant, he's like, let's do sexy magic, let's do tantric ritual, and we'll get into that dark side where Typhon resides as the Dark Lord, as Set. He is the power wielder of the Mauve Zone, as he says. This is the hidden side of the Tree of Life. This is the Daoth that gets you into it. And he says this is where all true magical power originates. Because Grant, he was an old ancient alien guy himself. He said that all religions point to the one universal truth, a single magical order that comes from the cosmos. And this is where we get into Typhon or Tython, whatever you want to call it. Now, bonus info, Crowley, he referred to Awaz as Set Awaz or Shaitan Awaz, referring to Set or Seth, the Egyptian god of evil. And the Greeks, they identified because they translated the gods over there. The Greeks were like, Set, we're going to call you Typhon. So Daoth is the entryway to the dark force, the dark side. And you need to get over to Tython, through, which is another term for Set. It's kind of like your devil character. Well, when you read about Star Wars, their description of Tython, let's see how this could very well be just representing Satan, Set, the powers of darkness, the Daoth, the hidden entrance to the Mauve Zone on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. They say that it's in the center of the deep core, just like Daoth on the Tree of Life. They say it's the first Egyptian temple at the top of a mountain. There's a seeing stone used to amplify your power. It's very occultish, right? You read my analysis on Truman Show. Talk about the mountain, the holy mountain. What that represents, the evolution of man to become God. They say in the history of Tython that there were pyramids long ago that ferried people to Tython. And they even compare it to the monoliths. Yes. Alien intelligence assisting in the evolution of man. This is the first Jedi. They evolved man into the first Jedi warrior through the alien intelligence, the alien flying pyramids, just like the monolith. Finally, we find out that the Force has the light and dark side in conflict represented by the two moons. And, you know, if you were a Jedi that had too much dark side, you'd go over to the light side. If you had too much light, you'd go over to the dark, vice versa. This is the reconciliation of opposites. Carl Jung talked about this all the time. You need to integrate your shadow. Carl Jung said he'd rather be whole than good. He was a Gnostic Jedi Knight himself, apparently. Because these people believe that neither side is good or evil. These are constructs society builds. And a true occultist can find his or her path by embracing both. Reconciling the opposites, which is the symbol of the Baphomet, the Androgyne, which is in Katy Perry's video. And Darth Vader, the Day-Off Vader, is, of course, in the Vatican Nativity for Christmas. The Netflix has the show Alien Xmas with the, you know, the X, the Mark of the Beast. So it's all connected, as you can see. Wow, that was a lot of stuff. A lot of aliens for Christmas this year. But I wanted to get that information out because there's a lot of crazy action happening. Is the Galactic Federation real? Seems like it. There's enough people claiming it. Maybe it's true. Are the monoliths real? Turns out they're not. Are the monoliths real in the science fiction tales of evolving man, enlightening man through the alien intelligence? Yes, it turns out it's true. On Star Wars, on 2001 A Space Odyssey, Katy Perry's showing us the Typhon, the Typhonian Order. It's a wild world. So anyways, if you want more on the alien agenda of all this crazy occult stuff, check out my book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Illusion 1, now on Amazon, self-narrated on Audible. Check it out. You're going to love it. Read the reviews. People are loving it. I appreciate the reviews, by the way. Thank you. Everyone dropping the reviews. I read them all. I'm blown away. You're very kind to me. Thank you very much. Until next time, my friend, stay woke.